Right now, you're listening to Hip Hop Digest with E Green, King Killer B, and Kurt G.
You had some homosexuals in the hood, and I'm not bashing homosexuals, I'm just saying this is a fact. You had some homosexual dudes in the hood who would try to emulate the style of women to a degree, but still keep it a little boyish. So they'd have tighter pants on than the average dudes, and they might have a scarf on like a girl would wear, and they're shuffling around, and hey, and all that shit, you know what I mean? Those dudes was the precursor of the style that these dudes are wearing now. And these young boys have no idea. I was sent a picture from one of my friends, the God Born, of a model dude at a fashion show who was wearing a dress with a tight blazer over the dress and some sneakers with a hard face. Muscular dude. Mm-hmm. Okay? I posted the picture on Instagram and the caption said, "You see where this Kanye shit is getting us, right? Hashtag half a fag. That's not hip hop to me." You understand what I'm saying? That really has no place in hip hop. And the only reason why an individual would do something like that is purely out of ego, arrogance, and lack of knowledge of themselves. Lack of knowledge of themselves. Lack of knowledge of themselves. Lack of knowledge of themselves.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And you got E Green. What's up, my brothers?
What's good? What's good?
Happy recording day, gentlemen.
Happy recording day, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Indeed. See, our brother, he struggled through it. He didn't even miss a show.
Yeah. So anyway, we want to wish our brother, you know what I'm saying? You know, I love that brother so much. Happy birthday. You know what I mean? Let's get that out of, you know what I'm saying? You know, happy birthday.
Yes, sir. Mr. E Color, E Grisio.
Tapper John MD.
There they go.
Mr. Ginger Ale and whatever on the rocks.
There's some 151 today.
Woo, that right. 151 ain't no bum.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there, yo.
So speed, no doubt. So
right there.
Speed.
Word. So we're kind of in a festive situation. He's swerving, celebrating. We got some hot topics. So we're going to tackle the first thing. Lord Jamal on a talk show with Rod Digger talking about women generally aren't, that he doesn't consider women generally hip hop. So Lord Jamal, yo, you know what I'm saying? Word is born, yo. He's straight bugging personally.
He on some chauvinistic shit?
For sure. Yeah.
But yes, and he admits it.
Point blank, you're right.
Yo, I'm not saying it's right, but see, the thing is that, you know, you can have a conversation. A lot of people don't like Lord Jamal, his comments, but the thing that I really appreciate about the brother is that he lays out, he don't hide behind shit. He like, yo, I'm not into female topics and female shit. I ain't into no white folk shit that goes like female M&Ms. I ain't into that shit, you know, and he puts that out there for all to see. But to say female MCs, and he names the people he thought was dope, Lauryn Hill, you know, Bahamadia, you know, that type of shit. He does agree with E Color that Lauryn Hill's LP, Miseducation, was R&B.
R&B, yeah, yeah. We, you know, I'm day one saying that. There's a couple joints on there, of course, but the album overall is R&B. So we don't need to rehash that anymore.
I'm a
ride with him on that, but I don't really get down with too much more of these talk about.
No. I think what it really came down to is that the high numbers of men to women who actually get in this and do this, you know.
Yeah, but you can't disrespect the ones that are in it and doing it. And doing it the way, you know, according to standard.
Right.
Even the ones he mentioned, like, and there's way more. So, I mean, I don't know what he wants or what. Maybe if he wants to talk about the current stuff, like
Like your boy Jamie almost got caught out there, which we ain't hearing nothing else about anymore. I told you that would go away real quick. But anyway, maybe he's talking about the current stuff, not particularly the ones that, like I said, the ilk that he mentioned.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably more of where he was thinking along that line when he said, made those comments that he ain't fucking with these regular stripper slash rappers. He ain't fucking with that type of MC, but as far as regular just spitters that can really go in with the present company, Rod Digger, who he was talking to, I'm thinking he's saying, yeah, they nice. They can spit just like any other dude out here.
Yeah, well, and he did admit that, but I think what it came down to, and Lord Jamal is such a lightning rod, is that it is his personal opinion, and she tried to get at him. She was like saying, you can't substitute your personal opinion for what hip-hop is. You know, just because you may not be into the female struggle. And, you know, he's like, I'm an alpha male talking to other alpha males. You know, I ain't into that broad shit. That's basically what he said.
Oh, well, then he gets no passes. Then that nigga is just straight up chauvinistic on his shit.
No doubt.
Right.
But I give him respect for the fact that he's speaking his mind and saying what he says. And he ain't
his
hiding
opinion.
Behind it. And it's his opinion,
right.
And oh well, if you don't like it, then fuck you.
He'll talk about you next.
No question. No doubt. So, all right, that's what's enough for your boy, Lord Jamal. Next topic on the Hip Hop Dodge, just want to give a quick shout out to One to Dial. Last week I had asked to name some young DJs who are doing it, you know. And he recommended a DJ with an incredible video. Not only was Mr. Let me get his name right here, Incredible or Boy or however he pronounced that. Yo, first of all, but let me caution you.
Uh-oh.
Let me caution you. He was doing it up the standard. The needle was in the groove, cutting the hell out of the records. Okay. I don't care the fact that he had, Soretto or, you know, Soretto Pro DJ, whatever. That doesn't matter. That's just the software. He's still. So I caution you for any you motherfuckers out there on that push button shit. You know what I mean? I can hear the commentators now. Oh, my goodness. Mr. DJ Do-It-All, he's really smashing the hell out of that button, guy. You know, his finger
drumming.
You know
something about Do-It-All from the Lords of the Underground?
No, I just was trying to use a generic name. I was just trying to use a generic name when it comes down to you were commentating on his finger drumming is incredible. And I'm telling you, that C2 button, he's smashing the hell out of it. You know what I mean? Fuck that.
He's about to crack his keyboard.
Right. You know what I mean? So when it comes down to that, yes, the young boy was doing it. Shout the One to Dial. You know what I'm saying? Too bad he's not getting hired to go on tour with some of these nut niggas, but I digress.
Oh my God, he's a QWERTY master.
And while we're speaking about DJs, did I get a chance to talk about the Vinyl Destination Tour? My life is a blur. I don't know if we talked about it after or before.
No, you did. Yes.
Okay, because I know that I mentioned about the my placement in top DJs. We had a few people out there that was talking about that as well. Again, no disrespect at all to Jazzy Jeff, because he could easily be number one at any moment.
Right. The governor obviously got in well on that. Yeah. So again, let me repeat, and we can get out of this topic and go on to the next one. And it's got to be divisions, with the top division being the record needle in the groove. It's got to be the top division right there. Everything else, you can get a trophy.
Fuck you, dinosaurs.
You know what I'm saying? That's all right.
Fuck you, dinosaurs.
That's all right.
But dinosaurs earn it, though.
Fuck you, dinosaurs.
How about that?
Goddamn dinosaurs. Can't stand it, motherfuckers.
I know.
Technology hating ass niggas.
I love technology and shit.
Fuck y'all, dinosaurs.
Yeah, real talk and shit. Yeah, real talk shit, nigga. The older I get, I might fuck around and get a MIDI controller.
Can't
fuck
stand
that
you,
shit.
Well, see, here's the thing, though, killer. You still using technology, but you still got the needle in the groove.
Me, but that's my personal standard, yo.
You know what I'm saying?
I love technology.
Using technology, though.
Yes, sir.
You got Soretto over there.
I do.
You know what I'm saying? But you got them vinyls, though. It's not like you're just pushing cue points and buttons on a thing. So you're right. You got that top tier. Anything after that,
dinosaur
it's
niggas.
No good, but
goddamn dinosaurs! I can't stand you, motherfucking pterodactyl ass niggas.
All right, so one pterodactyl to another.
She got to call us nut niggas.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? So next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, I'm assuming that we all got a chance to watch Hip Hop Evolution.
Yes, yes.
And I just going to, first of all, before we dive into it, let's do a quick round table. What do you think, Swerve? I'm going to have you go in, birthday boy. What did you think of Hip Hop Evolution, season 3?
So what do you want us to go in on, the whole thing or just a grade, A, B, C?
Yeah, give it your grade or go in how you want to, you know, do you.
Okay, I'm going to give it a A minus.
Okay.
Okay, uh-huh. Okay. Well, overall, I probably would give it a B.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a B plus. I thought you know, in a situation like that, they have to cover the broader topics. You know what I mean? And they can't dive into the minutia where we kind of like to deal with in the underbelly of the topics, the minutia. You know, it's funny when they got to the point. Part about Jay-Z, and they kind of left him at Sunshine, you know, they kind of left him in that Diddy, you know, that jiggy shiny suit. That's exactly where they left Hov at, you know, which I thought was interesting because, boy, I'm gonna tell you something, man, that's where he made his money though. And Dame Dash can get up there and say they didn't like it, but that's where the money was made.
They did make a lot of money off that joint. They did. But the reason why I gave it a B all overall was because it wasn't telling me shit. I knew most of the shit that they was talking about. I mean, I appreciate what they did, and I appreciate how they did it and rehashing the shit, but I didn't really learn a lot, but I like the way they shot it, the stuff that they did.
Well, let me tell you something.
And see, well, I just wanted to say, Kurt, that's probably why you gave it a B, but that's probably why I gave it a A minus. But I did that because... Yeah, I was like, come on, we're going to rehash this Biggie and Tupac shit again. But when you think about this for just a second here, there are people alive and in that like rap music that don't really know how deep that shit was. They hear Tupac, Biggie, Beef, East Coast, West Coast. But King Killer give me the standing ovation.
Yes, I am, my nigga. Yes, I am.
Although I didn't need that. They did it in a good way that somebody who really has no clue could really be like, oh, shit, that's what happened.
Your average Canadian loving, you know, trap living young nigga don't understand that.
Well, as many stories as out about that shit, they can go on YouTube and get it as much as they information as they would like.
And them motherfuckers don't
even
know that.
They got conspiracy theories and everything on fucking YouTube. It's all kinds of shit on there.
That's true, but motherfuckers don't even know nothing about their own history. So, which leads me to my next thing. When it got to the Atlanta episode, it was two things that really stood out. And you know
what
I was going to jump on this shit, okay? Number one was Shadi said Atlanta wasn't going to give me no props because I was from New York. All that Southern talking shit, all that shit talking about New York this and New York hating. Y'all got a little bit of your own fucking hate. Your man was living in Atlanta, was repping for Atlanta, but just because he wasn't from there, fuck him. Okay, I got you. I see you. I spotted you.
Before New York even realized there was a scene in Atlanta.
Of course, but I'm just saying, but still. So don't come at me with this Atlanta poor boy shit about New York. Fuck that. I don't want to hear it, okay? Fuck that. And then number two.
But you know what, B? I'm going to say this. I understood it from this point of view. I understood the fact that the kid that they was talking about, the kid that's from Atlanta.
The kid with the cocaine song.
Right. Yes. He was talking, they talk, and from they hood and knew and had their whole language and everything that they was about. So I give him the fact that it was somebody that was there and homebred. Yes, I will give him that. But as far as the hate part, yeah, I don't understand the hate part. Because like you said, he was repping for Atlanta, so I don't understand why you would hate the nigga.
That's what I'm saying. To me, that's the equivalent of Dougie Fresh coming to D.C. with DJ Kool and doing I'm Getting Ready. Not near a D.C. niggas booing and fronting. They love the hell out of that record, love which is a go-go record to this day.
I'm getting ready.
To this day. And number two was your boy Rico. Rico Wade.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Rico Suave.
Nah,
nigga.
Rico.
Oh, B, you almost caught me, son.
Your boy from Organized Noise was like, he looking around the city and the Atlanta sound's out there. And you got the Crisscross already out there and TLC blowing up. But we looking for, and dare I say it, some MCs. He said, we're looking, wait a minute, I see that shit out there, but now but we looking for some MCs.
Somebody who I ain't got to write they raps.
My man.
Are you talking about KRS-One? The MC.
Nah, I'm just saying, B, again, Atlanta niggas with this poor boy shit, this false, which I see, well, this is what I, this false chip on their shoulder about, you know, someplace else.
You know you're gonna get addressed on the chain,
and
right?
That's all right, because you can address but this false shit, okay, about a chip on their shoulder. I'm gonna tell you what, West Coast niggas, Atlanta niggas, and anybody else need to thank New York, because apparently until you get dissed by New York and New York alone, that's the only thing that make you mad, okay? That seems like the only thing that make you mad, that put the battery in your back and shit. Oh, Andre 3000, y'all niggas closed-minded or whatever. I mean, I feel what he was saying but again, this whole New York, you know what I'm saying, embrace me shit. And New York is fickle as a motherfucker.
Against themselves, as we keep getting reminded.
We keep trying to tell niggas it ain't just you. They boo a motherfucker live right next door to them. It ain't just you. It's just you caught some of that shit and you wasn't used to it.
No doubt.
Niggas watch the Apollo and think that's just TV shit.
Nah, nigga. What?
That's attitude for real.
Right. No doubt. And two, I think the most impressive, well, not impressive, but at least, was the underground movements. The movements that started with the Cyphers in both New York and L.A. and the MCs that came out of that movement, you know. And I guess for me, like I said, for somebody who buys the records, you know, when they talked about Jurassic 5 and Freestyle Fellowship, and I own those records, no question about that. But, I guess in a way I wanted to hear, like, Far Side came from that movement, too. And that's just from the guy who buys the records, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, Black Star and everybody who recorded on Ruckus and Fat Beats and just the whole movement, again, was a movement back to and getting away from the West Coast niggas. Was like, yo, you know, it's more than, you know what I'm saying, Crips and Bloods killing each other shit out here. You know what I mean? Right. It's just like New York niggas. It's fuck this jiggy shit. You know what I mean?
I can't get jiggy with this shit.
Yeah. So all that being said, and I look towards Atlanta, and I look towards the failure. And not that cats in Atlanta can't spit. There's plenty of cats.
Oh yeah, B.
But the failure.
I was about to say that.
But the failure sure. of guys to address this whole trap usage, this overused for at least a decade. You know, Atlanta cats want to take pride in the fact that, yo, every lil that comes out is super paid. You know, I give you that. They super paid, but what are they really contributing? What are they fucking doing? You know what I'm saying? Other areas, New York and Los Angeles specifically, addressed their shortfalls. That shiny suit shit, all that jiggy shit, was a moment in time. Okay?
Right.
You know, it was a moment in time. So, that's what's up. So, that's the hip-hop evolution. I'm sorry, I had to get at cats, yo. Especially cats in Atlanta, yo. Don't come at me. B, real talk, don't come at me with that nut, that poor boy nut shit, yo.
So let me ask you, though, just for the record. You don't have anything against Atlanta, right?
No,
as
sir.
As far as that scene.
No,
right?
Sir.
And you admit that there is dope our boy, you know what I'm saying? Senior Kaus, Star. And so on. You know, this is just a few
one of my favorite DJs, DJ Jamad. He's not from Atlanta, but he represents Atlanta. Rapping. That's my man. I love his mixtapes. Yo, that's one of my top DJs. So no, I do not. The point I'm saying about Atlanta, number one, the failure to address deficiencies that is coming from their city as far as MCs go. And number two, with this false Paul Boy, New York player hated on us, so we're going to show them shit. I guess if you need that type of motivation, man, I guess whatever it takes to motivate you, yo. I'm just saying, for me, I would like to see the MCs in Atlanta get some, okay? Atlanta trap niggas and that whole same sounding trap shit is holding those niggas in Atlanta back. You're holding them niggas back.
But so, they're not addressing it.
No, they're not.
And maybe smartly so, because it's probably not a good thing for them to go against their homegrown shit.
And maybe that's their thing, yo. Maybe that's Atlanta's legacy.
No, actually, to have
the trap rap, the paid trap rappers.
I believe that I've heard on a lot of places where Southern rappers generally, as a part of growing up in the South, do not diss other Southern rappers, which again to me is a misnomer. A lot of that T.I. and Jeezy back and forth and all these other niggas wanting to, you know, be king of the hill and shit. I don't know about that either. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to say. I'm just saying would like to see the MCs of Atlanta get some shine. That's all.
You might see me in the streets, but shorty, you don't know me.
So that's what's good, yo. Next time we're going to Hip Hop Digest. I guess we can get in and out of this, yo. I don't know what to say about this shit. Big talk on the chain, big talk on social media. Rat Takahashi 6ix9ine. I mean, what can we say about that, yo? First of all, what's this rat shit?
What did you call that nigga, Takahashi?
Or whatever, however you pronounce it.
It don't matter. They don't even care anymore. The thing that gets me with this nigga is he was the king of the hill.
He was.
He was top dog. And you had niggas that was wanting to fuck with him, clamoring, trying to get around this nigga, wanting to fuck with him. Niggas what?
50 Cent.
50 Cent made a cut with this nigga.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj.
Making cuts with this nigga.
King of the hill. I mean, motherfuckers was so convinced that this nigga was so real and so authentic and so 1,000. You know what I mean?
So this nigga is worse than Rick Ross.
Oh, man, nigga make Rick Ross look like Cool Herc.
Damn.
Damn, B. So he is. You stretching that one all the way out.
That shit is on some time stretch, nigga.
B, nigga, I'm sorry because Ross, yes, he got caught in a false equivalent, false, this, that, and the third. But Ross has proven a certain talent, though. You know what I mean? The image has been proven to be false. And he's still riding that image. But the talent is proven, okay? This cat right here, there's major labels was co-signing this cat so heavy. And we were going to be in at least a 5-6 year onslaught of this nigga being propped up. But this rat shit, I mean, why are cats calling him a rat?
I'm going to tell you what, B.
Because they knew this would happen.
All right.
You should have.
But I'm going to tell you this. Now, to me, this is the true definition of a rat.
Okay.
This cat here is the true definition of a rat.
Is he?
Yes. To me, let me explain it to you. To me, a rat is a nigga who was down and doing the dirt with everybody else. And then you get busted and caught, and then you want to start snitching, you's a fucking rat. Now, if you in the hood and you live in the hood, and niggas is around there selling drugs, and your kids can't go out and play because they fucking up the neighborhood, and you call the cops on them niggas, they ain't no rat, because they fucking up your neighborhood. But if you out here dealing with these niggas, and you out here serving right next to these niggas, on the block with these niggas, and then you get caught by the cops, and then you start talking about these niggas, and snitching on these niggas, then you a fucking rat. That's the definition of a rat.
you helped me, Kirti, because I'm sitting here listening intently, and the question I was going to ask you is, do you subscribe to the no snitching thing? But you answered it. You said, and I heard you, when you said, if you live in a hood and you call the police on some niggas doing some dumb shit, that's not snitching. But if you doing dirt with these niggas and you putting them out there, that is snitching. Yo, I get down with that. I fuck with that right there.
That's 100% snitch, my nigga, because you was in the game heavy and would still be in the game had you not get had he not got caught up.
Doubt.
He would still be putting out records, still repping that shit, still talking Chief, shit about that
Chief
shit.
Keith might be dead.
And ooh, ain't that something? Damn, Chief Keith, that's probably a badge of honor for that nigga. You had a hit on me, nigga. I'm still alive.
So I'm gonna be 100. In respect to your definition of what a rat is, but to me, all these niggas doing dirt in the street, and if you participating in doing dirt, stop fucking fooling yourself. And to me, your definition of a rat, my dude, is fooling yourself.
Oh shit.
Yes, because this shit comes down to you doing dirt in the street and you get caught, and the game is the first one to rat. That's the game after you're caught. Raphael Edmonds a rat. Big drug dealers, Nicky Barnes a rat. Okay.
I don't know if Raphael's a rat.
Raphael spent the last Edmonds spent the last 25 years
snitching on niggas.
Cooperating with prosecutors.
Straight snitching.
Nicky Barnes a rat.
Yes. Yeah. They all rats,
so,
my nigga.
No, but I'm just saying.
That's my definition of what a rat is. If you want to call a nigga a rat, that's a rat. If you was in the dirt doing the same shit what these niggas was doing, and then you got caught, and then you gonna start snitching. You gotta take that L, my nigga, because you supposed to be G. You supposed to be street.
But see, that's never been true.
It's true for some niggas.
Nah, man, fuck.
Everybody don't take the rat route.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's true for a very minuscule most niggas doing dirt in the street, but wanna try to rock this rat G code shit. The minute them niggas get behind closed doors with some bull ass prosecutors, yo, nigga, that nigga right there, you know what I mean? They ratting every last one of them motherfuckers. B, look,
rat.
Look, the analogy is true, but all them niggas is on a sinking boat and they all gonna jump the fuck off the boat, okay? It's part of the game by definition.
Okay,
but you to think that there's an honor in this shit.
I never said it was honor. Did you hear me say it was an honor? I didn't say it was an honor.
I'm not saying you said.
I'm saying what you're saying right now is basically you're verifying what I was just saying. You're verifying exactly what I was saying.
No,
these niggas are rats.
I'm not, B, that's not directed at you. I'm talking about to the guys in the street. If you buying this rat G-code shit, you fooling yourself. If you in the street, B, words born, I'm not going to be in the street. I'm not that street dude. But if I was, rule number one is I don't trust near none of you other niggas on the corner. And I will stab you in. No. And the game is to be the first one to make sure that I clip niggas that I don't get fucked over. Okay? Mm-hmm. See, that's why the mafia did it their way. Whack niggas. You steal all that shit from that motherfucking heist in New York? What them niggas have? Every last one of them niggas in the heist whacked. Because if they got caught, they would snitch. See, this G-code shit, especially amongst gangs and African-Americans and all this, nigga, you supposed to take that 40. Nigga, what? Nigga, I'm snitching on every last one of y'all niggas because that's the real game. Let's identify the real game.
You're right. That is reality like a motherfucker, but it's still ratting. It doesn't change the fact that it's ratting. The matter is, they're still rats.
I just don't like that definition because the definition gives you the illusion that there's an honor in the streets. There's zero honor out that bitch.
I didn't say it was honor.
No, I'm no saying
honor. There is no honor in it, but I'm just saying if you out here in the streets and you doing the same shit that everybody else is doing, and then all of a sudden you get caught and you gonna snitch on these niggas that you was in the streets with?
That's part of the game. Supposed to be your
man, 100 grand. Y'all man. Doing everything together. And you going to tell on this nigga because you got caught up to try to lessen your sentence? to get a couple extra years off your shit.
That's part of the game, nigga.
Then you a rat. Mm. That doesn't change the fact that you're a rat.
That's part of the game, nigga.
It might be part of the game, but you still a rat.
All right. I personally don't like the definition because
then
again,
you a snitch. Either way, it's still the same. Bitch, nigga, whatever you want to call him.
No doubt. Like I said, to me, all this shit is this jail nigga trying to have rules and equivalents that never, ever existed. Never. Never.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city.
Is that the Hoba version?
Yes, sir.
So, that's what's up, man. That's enough of that, yo. I'm just saying, yo, this cat, yo, I don't know. I see everybody, Jay Prince, and everybody got that word in their mouth. Oh, that nigga rat. You know what I mean? I'm like, what? That nigga is doing what every last one of them other niggas are doing.
Well, first off, you knew he was going to do that shit anyway, because he ain't built for this shit. That little nigga, he ain't built for no type of jail. And now the fact that he's doing this shit, he's still going to get some damn jail time out of it. It ain't like he going to walk. He gonna get out of this shit. You know what I'm saying? And the street code, since you're going to keep it on the street level, the street code says, okay, nigga, you might be locked up, but your family ain't locked up, nigga. And you out here snitching on niggas. We can still get at your people, nigga.
The people have to go on witness protection behind this nigga.
Family gonna have to go on witness protection, nigga.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's 100 too, because the other side of that is, and again, you talking real, the reality of it, and the reality of it is, okay, we might not be able to get to this nigga. The Fetty's got him in protective custody.
Right, this nigga PC all day.
Right. But I don't know. Somebody know where his moms live, somebody know where his cousins,
his girl, something. His baby.
Yep.
Niggas what? They don't give a fuck.
Word to my man Cookbook the Puerto Rican, what did you thought this was?
This nigga just thought it was a fucking movie. He out here talking this shit and talking about it and thought it was just a good thing while the money was coming in.
And I said I didn't have a whole lot to say about this guy, but I'm gonna tell you why, yo, and then I'm gonna really be done with it. His whole 15 minutes was so outrageously, ridiculously foolish that I literally can understand why the general public got caught up in that shit. But if you were able to pull yourself back for just a second and look at this shit, we wouldn't even be having this discussion now. He would just be having to do what he got to do, and nobody would be talking about it at all. But
nigga,
everybody doesn't have our vision. We saw this nigga for what he was from the beginning.
Right. And again, the general public, you know, generally be on some foolishness shit. You can get niggas lining up for chicken. You can get niggas to think this nigga is the next, you know, Biggie Smalls. So, hey. hey, let me tell you something. The young boys, I don't care. 2 years ago, we talked the same shit. Nigga, Young Boys is defending this nigga. Hell, like I said, 50 Cent, who claims certified, he a certified street nigga, he bought in. Nicki Minaj, her people bought in. You know what I mean? So
that Fifth's video shoot got shot up because of that shit.
So
fuck. All just, the way official.
You know what I mean? So no doubt. So let's move on beyond this cat, yo.
Like any man, I would like to live for long.
This nigga pulled out Martin Luther King on this nigga.
Talking about Atlanta.
Wow.
I do not want to be around niggas that's shooting all the time, B, and talking shit. Because either he going to talk shit and get hit, or he going to talk shit and we all have to fucking fight. And I don't want to fucking fight. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to do that shit.
You said like any man. Oh man. Damn, he pulled Martin Luther King out on your boy. But I might not get there with you.
That's what they're gonna say to you. Might not get there with you.
Oh wow.
Try to live, yo.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. This is some local shit. Local DMV shit right here. A new Baltimore crab house is targeting minorities with a strict dress code. Chop Tank is a seafood restaurant that opened this weekend in the Fells Point neighborhood of Baltimore. So first of all, I should tell you something right there, huh?
It's in Fells Point. Yeah. It's in Fells Point, nigga.
It's in Fells Point, okay?
It's not on the west side.
No, no. It's Fells Point, okay? He said posted was a dress code on the outside of the gate warning diners of the kind of attire that would not be allowed in the establishment. And it goes like this. Okay, strictly prohibited, okay? Excessively baggy clothing.
Well, that's not a problem.
Right, not nowadays, but you could tell this shit is so pulled from a certain era of stereotypes of what they think blacks wear, but it's very interesting. Nothing excessive baggy clothing. No offensive or vulgar inappropriate attire. Probably no booty shorts and the like.
You can't have on. You can't have a free pookie.
I'm just reading the thingy here. Let me put my glasses on so I can get in here, see this properly here. It also says with excessively baggy clothing, pants must be worn at the waist, and no shorts below the knee.
Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Okay. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
Right. No athletic attire. Also, no jerseys. Now, it says except for Ravens jerseys or Orioles jerseys on game days only. Okay? No brimless headgear. Headbands, bandanas, beanies. Okay?
Those wiggers are pissed.
Also, it goes on to say, no.
They're slapping koopies off of niggas.
Yo, I'm telling you, yo. Check this out. It says, no backwards or sideways hats.
Must be face forward. Niggas can't cock the brim no more, son.
Nigga, not sideways. It must face forward. So, and it goes on to say, no work or construction boots.
No construction Timbs.
Oh, well, you can call Timbs hiking boots, though.
Yeah, but it's not allowed. Okay?
No Timbs, my nigga.
Yeah. No sunglasses after dark. No electronic smoking devices. That one's on you, Swerve.
Some of them e-cigs. No,
vapes, nigga.
No backpacks or book bags. And no outside food or beverage. So as you read through the list or whatever, it's like these niggas took a stereotypical maybe mid-90s videos with niggas with baggy jeans on, construction Timbs, and an 05 jersey or something, you know. It's like, damn, yo. Now, not considering that today's 20 to 35-year-old African-American men specifically, that age group is going to be wearing a medium to small jeans, you know.
Tight.
I mean, the shirt is form cut all the way, you know, that Cam Newton look shit. That's what they're going to be wearing. All that baggy and jerseys and the 90s backpack. Yeah, that shit's, niggas don't wear that shit. Young niggas anyway.
Wiggers. Yo, real talk though, as you were going through the whole process and the list, as funny as that is, and it is funny, but on the other side of that, yo, if it's my establishment and I want a certain client type, what have you, then it is what it is. I'm gonna tell you right now, I done been into my share of restaurants here in LA, from fine joints to some taco shits, this holes in the wall. And almost every one of them motherfuckers has a sign that says, we reserve the right to refuse service. It don't say why, but them fucking signs. And maybe I'm just prone to see that kind of shit, but they're everywhere. And I never seen nobody get turned away or nothing like that, but that sign is in the window, and that's more obscure than saying no baggy Carhartts and shit. You know what I'm saying?
But this is what I'm saying. You could simply say, okay, no admittance or no service, or the proper attire is a jacket, shirt and tie. You could have
to say
right,
that.
Right. You gotta have a shirt and tie. Yeah. in or a jacket or something like that.
Basically, like you said, when niggas go to the club at night. A club, you niggas, they ain't gonna let you just in the club with any fucking thing on.
Right. And for a long time, they was checking niggas. Nigga, no sneakers, no boots or whatever. And that's fine. I'm not saying I have a problem with that. But what the problem is that the excessive to try to point the black culture as for existence. They simply could have just said, you know, casual attire.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel you.
They could have just said that.
Yeah, they made it targeted.
Yeah, they definitely went in all the way in and let you know what you cannot
wear. But they're not going to get the brothers because, like King Killa said, they wearing that extra medium. It's the white boys thinking they hip-hop coming up in there with backpacks and shit.
Yeah, but it would be interesting to see if white cats would be turned away from an establishment like that.
You talk about Fells Point, nigga.
Yeah, well,
I know Fells Point's probably even worse since I left there. Indeed. But I remember Fells Point.
Exactly,
yo.
That's what I'm saying.
That's that Jerry Haley shit.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So if you send a bunch of Eminem niggas up in there, they gonna turn them away? I don't know about that, B. But I know if you send a 90s cat up in there, it's good. Again, like you said, today's young men, they wear all that extra medium shit.
With purses.
Right, right, purses, the whole shit. You know what I mean? So
they're getting in.
They said everything except that. Must be gender specific.
So maybe they're welcoming young black men of today's hip hop or rap persuasion.
No doubt, no doubt. So that would be very interesting. I thought that was interesting.
And what was the name of that restaurant again, sir?
Chop Tank.
Fuck you. Ain't getting no meals out of there, B.
I just wanted to say fuck you.
No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. I found this particularly interesting. I would like to try to get through it without a lot of legal minutia. It says the music business wants to blow up copyright. And what this is very interesting. Okay. It says a cabal of Hollywood area music makers meet at a private club on a beach in Malibu. They call themselves the Composers Breakfast Clubs. In recent months, over smoked salmon and fresh fruit, they grappled with one of their biggest threats facing their vocation, a tsunami of copyright infringements. And one of the things that they talk about is the Robin Thicke, Marvin Gaye shit, when Marvin Gaye estate took them for $5.5 million. Now, what this has to do with the hip hop and what this has to do with Hip Hop Digest, the majority of pop music making today exists because of hip hop. Because of hip hop, because of how we sampled and how we took naked drum breaks and loops and all of that. Now you have, dare I say it, white producers who are producing plenty of rap, but pop too. I'm talking about these Post Malone motherfuckers. I'm talking about that. What's that motherfucker? Ed Sheeran? That nigga? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Sheeran, though.
Sheeran, whatever. You got them niggas. All these cats make music, okay, in the way like hip-hop. They'll start out, they don't call it breakbeats, or they don't call it samples. They just call it, like, loops. He'll start out with a bought drum loop. It may be skull snaps, but he bought it, you know? Or he may start out with a familiar riff from Led Zeppelin. See, that's what your boy Ed Sheeran, he's in a $100 million lawsuit with Led Zeppelin, okay? And it's all the people like him, including the music industry, who's saying, we need to limit this suing. And it's basically old rockers or old R&B cats, or what they consider old, up against the young music makers, the people who write for Beyonce, the people who do, you know, a lot of this Post Malone shit. Okay, they want to change copyrights now. Okay.
Oh, it was okay when Gilbert O'Sullivan was suing.
Oh well.
But here's what happened. Them niggas done got old. A lot of them niggas is dying off.
Yeah, but their estates are still on point. Saying,
but still, they done got old. They dying off. And they ain't, the music industry's not behind them no more because they ain't hot no more. You know what I'm saying? They behind these new niggas. So it's behooved to them niggas, these music industry, to be behind the niggas that's hot right now. So let's try to make the laws in their direction, so that way we can make these niggas say, "Lemon on you, motherfuckers. Led Zeppelin is the most you can get. It's $1 million, and that's it. And that's all you're gonna get. You can only sue one time, and that's it. Ed Sheeran can sample your shit for the next 20 years, and you can't sue him but one time."
So one of the people at the Breakfast Club said, "The Beatles got inspired by so many black artists, and then came hip hop, and then everybody got sued." Again, admitting, okay,
yeah.
And the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all those guys always admit that it was the old black blues artists that they inspired them to write their songs and the riffs that they played, okay? But it wasn't until hip-hop came in, and again, what we pioneered, hip-hop, what Molly Mall did, you know what I'm saying? What Ced G did, what Primo did, what Dr. Dre did, what we did. Now you got these Ed Sheeran niggas, these Mark Ronson niggas getting the fuck over. You know what I mean? Oh, let's change copyright now. We shouldn't get sued. But like you said, but it was okay when Gilbert O'Sullivan was trying to take Biz Markie money, or the Turtles was trying to take De La Soul's money. You know what I mean? Fuck these niggas, yo. I hope they get the fuck. I hope Led Zeppelin cleans they fucking clock, yo.
You sound bitter, nigga.
Nah, it's not a matter of being bitter, but I'm just saying, yo.
It's only right.
Look, hip-hop.
You said we took it. They got to take that shit, too.
Nah, B, hip-hop invented this shit, okay? Hip-hop invented this shit. Modern-day production styles, nigga, and you see it. You go to any music site, there's a motherfucker up there that's going to sell you 500 prefabricated music loops.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of that shit, if not straight out sampled, is a reproduction of famous drum breaks.
Yep.
Then that's a market right now. That's,
you know,
a big market.
You hear a Tide commercial on a fucking radio, and it's funky drummers in the background.
No doubt.
You know, but that artist or that producer who's producing for Tide wants to get paid. He don't want James Brown estate to get paid, even though they using the James Brown record.
Crazy, right?
Shit, nigga.
Get him, Led.
So anyway, it goes to your boy Ed Sheeran, one of the biggest stars of the century. And the case is strictly about the way music is made today. Like I said, prefabricated loops and shit. The $100 million case is a possible trip for Led Zeppelin to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they will soon understand how music.
They're gonna win if it goes to Supreme Court.
Well,
them old niggas up there,
yeah.
They're gonna be like, "Oh, I remember these guys. They were the shit."
Right, no doubt. And it just reminds me of back in the days when Queen got at your boy Vanilla Ice, and Vanilla Ice still to this day claims that he changed one note in that bass line. From Under Pressure, Queen, the original joint.
We don't believe you. You need more people.
We got a theme here today, my nigga.
So, you know what I mean? Look, man, these guys, the way music is being made, it's just the way music is being made. And that is a direct product from us. Direct from hip-hop, okay? But, look, there's no way that I'm going to want these niggas to win. When the groups that I love and cherish, and Tribe Called Quest and KRS-One and Public Enemy, and just about anybody you can think of from the sample-heavy 90s who had to pay a financial price, let Ed Sheeran and these Post Malone production white cats pay the fucking rate, nigga. Jimmy Page.
Lay in your ass and drink a cup of tea.
Yo, Jimmy Page, what's up? Holla at your boy, King Killer, the Hip Hop Digest. What's good?
Robert Plant.
My
what's
man,
good?
What's good?
Yeah.
So that's what's good. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, where am I at here? We always talk about hip hop, and obviously being old heads, we talk about it from our perspective. This one was very interesting. The death of the legendary New York City recording studios. So, as we'll go through the studios real quick, most of them, basically gentrification took them over. These are not places that you can go see. There is no version of Hip Hop Abbey Road. Electric Ladyland is still there, but that's Jimi Hendrix. That's a whole nother game. But those studios are still there. Okay. But in hip hop, especially in New York City, there was at least three big ones. Okay. The first one we're going to talk about is Green Street Studios.
Wow.
Yes. Green Street Studios was legendary. Curtis Blow, hip hop's first gold single, The Breaks, was recorded at Green Street Studios. Okay. Russell Simmons, Larry Smith, Run DMC, their first album, Green Street Studios. All these people recorded at Green Street Studios.
Orange Crush was in there?
Orange Crush, exactly. Starsky Love Bug, Salt and Pepper, Public Enemy, Tribe Called Quest, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, Rakim, and Heavy D, all recorded at Green Street Studios. As well as the Bomb Squad, who recorded who recorded Ice Cube's when he ran to the East Coast, and you remember that. I'm just telling you, all y'all motherfuckers remember that. Ice Cube ran to the East Coast. All right, I'm just saying, people, man, maybe they forgot. They recorded America's Most Wanted at Green Street. The Bomb Squad, man. Ice Cube, mark it. There it is, all right? So, legendary New York studios. Okay, long gone, Green Street. Okay, but we have to really start, I guess, and what I talk about here is the first place was Sugar Hill Records, okay, in New Jersey. Sugar Hill Records studio, all the people who recorded for Sugar Hill, yeah, too many to name, you know what I mean? But that was destroyed by fire in the early 2000s. Let's not forget Sugar Hill Records. After that was deep in the heart of Manhattan's Chinatown, Chung King Studios.
Wow.
Yes, man.
I've seen that on the back. I've seen that in the back of so many damn albums.
Mm-hmm. When you read the liner notes, no doubt. No doubt. Okay. It was the home of Rick Rubin. Rick Rubin transferred to Chung King from Green Street, producing Run DMC's Raising Hell. Let me run through the litany of people who recorded at Chung King. Public Enemy, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. The Stop the Violence Movement, Self-Destruction, MC Search, Third Base. He also brought in KMD, Nas, who recorded his debut single, Halftime, all at Chung King Studios.
And who is KMD now?
KMD is MF Doom.
Oh, yes, for those that don't know.
Okay. So, all of those, and there's many more. Those are just the names I took off the, you know, the article. There's many more who recorded. And if you look at the liner notes, you'll see recorded at Green Street, recorded at Chung King. But probably the most legendary and probably should be or should have been. It is now probably some goddamn millennial's apartment, I'm sure, in gentrified New York, is should be Hip Hop's Abbey Road, D&D Studios.
Wow. Man,
legendary.
Can we get another Hov reference?
Well,
definitely recorded in there.
Yeah. Well, let's run through it. D&D Studios became a bastion of hip hop, boom bap exceptionalism. Okay, originally the favorite of the Fat Boys. Okay, the West 37th Street Studio played a pivotal role in launching the careers of such artists as D&D, Ultramagnetics, Delight, Jay-Z, Gangstar, Mobb Deep, De La Soul, all a Tribe, Jungle Brothers, Queen Latifah, okay, all a Native Tongues, okay, DITC, Big L, and many more. D&D was the de facto. As a matter of fact, I believe part of Ready to Die was recorded at D&D for Biggie. So that should be Hip Hop Abbey Road. But none of those recording studios exist anymore. So we say goodnight
to
those
moguls studios. With all that money and hip hop talk, let that shit get away.
Man, look, in the article, they talk about those moguls with those major labels. Well, Primo did. And Primo, after he bought D&D from the original owners, kept it open for an additional 12 years. It is then when the people was like, your lease, D&D would still be open. Nigga, we're yanking the lease, nigga. We can ready to sell this whole shit to some gentrifying ass developers. Okay?
And just so you know, for you, for the people out there that don't own property, if you don't own the property, then you don't own shit. You might own the house that's on the land, like you might own that house, but you don't own the property under your house. So when you buy that house, you just bought that house.
Yep.
The land that your house is sitting on, you don't own that, and you never will.
Well, most people don't buy houses like that, though.
I know that.
That's like that DC shit, though. So, right?
But anyway, but let's get back to the studios real quick here. But anyway, those studios are now gone. And it is a case of hip hop history that is gone and that we cannot proudly display. I think it would have been wonderful if we could have kept at least one of those. One of those. Anyway, but back to the original thing when you talked about the moguls with all that money. But those same moguls, when technology came into play, was like, we ain't spending money on a big ass room to go in there and record records. Fuck that. You better get your MacBook open and get it cracking, nigga.
See, that's where I was getting ready to go. Because I was like, I understand why all these places closed. Yes, it's a shame that they shut down. But because of technology, and there goes that word again, you motherfucking dinosaur. Technology, because of technology, all them shits get shut down. Because now you could do an album in your house that sounds not, if not as good, damn near as good, if you know what you're doing, as the shit that was being put out in those places.
No doubt. No doubt. That's 100. So anyway, the death of New York City studios, I'd be interested to hear around the country of studios that may or may not exist, particularly in L.A., NWA or Compton or any place, McCullough Records, any of those places. Did they have a central place where they recorded? Did it come from anywhere else? And I know, and shout to Electric Ladyland, there's been a classic records recorded there. Plenty of hip hop records that recorded at Electric Ladyland. I get it, but I'm just saying D&D should be hip hop's Abbey Road, or at least it should have been, you know? So
Right. That's
what's up. So, are we ready to get into the world famous?
I think we should.
All right. Kurt G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week, we got Funky DL Def. That's Funky DL Def. And then we got Price Styles Black Mass Reloaded. That's Price Styles Black Mass Reloaded. And the instrumental joint is Slow Your Roll Rain Check. That's Slow Your Roll Rain Check.
Well, I tell you what, Funky DL is on the regular.
That nigga always, he just put instrumental joint.
Yeah, he's out on the regular.
That nigga always putting some shit out.
So,
well, without saying too much, I went ahead and I know we all have our issues with time. But yo, I be trying to make shit, yo. So I went ahead and got my, you know, our top 10 of the year comes up. What we do it? December or January, whatever the fuck we do it.
End of December, beginning of January, somewhere around there.
But what I've done is I've gone through the first half of the year and did my research on what I've been listening to. And I think I got 5 solids for the first half of the year.
Right. I definitely got 5 solids. I definitely got 5 solids.
You know, and we got to save that space for that last 6 months of the year because it's been crazy. Might knock out some of them early ones. Shit.
It's always November and December that kill you.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what the hell?
So that's what's good. So I'm glad we got in, gentlemen. We'll do it when we do it.
All right.
Peace.
Yeah. One.
Peace.
I'm from the deepest, coldest streets is Jamel, you know me smoking features like sativa. Leave the boldest of the highest creatures. Peep this, you need a foul share with a leak this. Salute the packer, I'm the rapper, I'm a poet, leeches. From where they hold the freakness, it's where our hawks bit, be cautious, as we can all identify the horse shit. The bird is the word, with murder flipping, birds in the curve. What I observe beside the urban observe, I serve the fiends, leaning murderous versus the works. You ain't a fan unless you stand in to purchase the merch.
I'm feeling cocky like the Henny Rock. You niggas sloppy, not in any box. I'm only here to butcher shit like Benny dropping on Griselda Blanco. You ain't raw, you watching Narcos. Coke lines, I swell your tonsils. Just with my eyes closed, I view the cosmos and Panasonic. You want war, you forgetting logic like sleeping on that gin and tonic, nigga.
Nasty like the old time, old number seven. Nasty like the old time, old number seven. Nasty like the old time, old number seven. That's like the old time.
Yeah, the portfolio is sick. I sell you rappers like a morbid or the Grinch. For the bag, I stab your office with a stick. I'm morbid with the script. I'm offering you niggas the offering, the whole clip of the fist. I'm burning mics on the altar, no alternate spit. One half with a fix. You niggas whacking blasphemous, lacking the acumen to rip. Just pass it, I'ma flip.
Get them God.
No facade as hard as nails to tell a martyr's tale. So I give it to you with spells like I was Gargamel. Regardless, if you were artist, know you are to kill. In other words, a target that these poisonous darts to kill. Respect the craft, belies the arts and feel. Make a statement like, better guard your grill to show you how the cartridges feel. Nothing but body bags, leave me tracks and I body that. The illest in the snap like I'm rapping, rocking a hockey mask. How real is that, the past, the present? Yeah, I master that, killing ciphers with arrow racks. Referencing pun and battle raps. Imagine that.
Nasty like the old time, old number seven. Nasty like the old time, old number seven. Nasty like the old time, old number seven. Nasty like the old time, old number seven.
Days, different times. Evolution, baby. Came a long ways from the hood. No matter where I'm at, though, I overcome, do good. I see the world cut from a diamond. Every ray shining, a different day and time. Heart design, body and mind. Through people with space, feel and embrace. I live and show face. Stand firm, start from the base. Examine my place. So many lost, stuck in the chase. Losing their case. Relax, breathe, relax, breathe. Remnants of grace, replenish with taste. Don't forget that life is a blessing. Never a weapon. Every day the self is testing. Lessons and questions to move you in the right direction. Balance perfection. Naturally, it's love and affection. A source of protection. Never try to force the connection. Move in correction. You can see that everything's destined. No matter what they try or do. God is essence. I live in the present. Stay away from evil discretion. Practice good perception. Clearer reception. Live in the flesh. Avoiding stress. Escaping the mess. I stay aware. Doing my best. Your word from the hustle. Did it from the hood. Muscle. Had to learn how to tussle. Stay on the bubble, add it up, stack it in doubles. No time for the struggle, no matter the trouble. Life on the hustle, hustle. Doing my best, birth from the hustle. Did it from the hood muscle, had to learn how to tussle. Stay on the bubble, add it up, stack it in doubles. No time for the struggle, no matter the trouble. Life on the hustle, yeah. A solid measure, adapt through the system of terror. They call it the land of the free, the home of the treasure. In the background, my brothers treated lesser, lesser. Another one shot in the back, an everyday jester. The prison oppressor, they do it for their own pleasure. Aggressor, my vision mega like the mind of Tesla. Another era, gun toting, the barrel smoking. Bullets floating, haters scoping to catch you open. You catch me open? Guaranteed to get awoken. New city nights and cold nights off that green ocean. Pure satisfaction, I'm on my locomotion. Feeling nice, Betty Rice, heavy on the ice. You looking on some bullshit? Better think twice. Think again, better yet, better ask your friends. I come in peace, but peace can bring you to an end. I'm on some love, nigga, stay away from hate crime. And watch me make mine like Marvin through the grapevine.
best, doing my best. Your word from the hustle, did it from the hood. Muscle, had to learn how to tussle. Stay on the bubble, add it up, stack it in doubles. No time for the struggle, no matter the trouble. Life on the hustle, hustle, doing my best. Birth from the hustle, hit it from the hood muscle. Had to learn how to tussle, stay on the bubble. Add it up, stack it in doubles. No time for the struggle, no matter the trouble. Life on the hustle, yeah.
So far behind me, can't catch up. Shaking the hate, hoping I make a mistake and mess up. I'm good as gone when I put it on like dress up. Pointy shoes, looking at corny dudes, and guess what? Don't matter the kick, snare, or the hat sound. I sit high on a big chair and attack clowns. Exact pounds, I locate and I drop the bombs. Your size is small, you rise and fall like stocks and bonds. I got your moms in the crosshairs and the Lord's prayers. Won't save her, I never fold like porch chairs. See, y'all so far in the back. Need a telescope to analyze a star in this track. I'm from another galaxy, call it a fact. I'ma loan you this flow, but I'ma borrow it back. Y'all don't know how to use it right. So if you step in the ring, be prepared to lose the fight.
Yeah.
Better stand still, let's keep it real. I and I trust no one unless we share the same intention. Never lose direction, never flex to impress them. Out for self, it's a rap, may the Lord bless them. Stood stoic, crushing these pawns. This game is for kings, we aiming for your thrones. Only time will tell who will fold. World cold, but I'm still moving on. This salty poems, they pushing and hurting my soul. More fuel for the fire, struck the crown with a fatal blow. That's all she wrote. I'm at your throat, provoking thought, while the rest are far behind, choking on my smoke. Spoke success into existence, shifted the balance. No malice, they ain't touching my status. Leaders of the pack, beyond the clouds, above the average. Speaking rhythmic language, counterattack savage. Protect what we branded, built from scratch, nothing handed. We're made men of word and honor, overstanding. They lack the basics, they're so far behind. They lack the heart, no punch to their lines. They lack the movement, they get left behind. Second guess me, I pay them no mind. Miles ahead of you, and you're so.
You're so far behind.
Fuck everybody that don't believe the vision.
Come on, who on the front now?
You best show some respect.
Just trying to get it.
I look back and I can see.
You're so far behind.
Time I look up, every time I turn around, I'm sending my condolences. Losing another friend. We're way too young to be going through this shit. Niggas is dying in their 30s and 40s, bro. There's been some thoughts weighing heavy on my mind lately. My friends dying, that's a reminder that I'm aging. So many deaths in these previous years. Some affecting me left me depressed and even in tears. My wife comforts me and tell me there's no reason to fear.
But I wake up every day thinking my moment is near. My homies ain't here. I used to be buying my boys 40s. Now I'm poor, now liquor, they dying before 40. My bro had a beautiful wife and a precious newborn. All he wanted in life's just to provide food for him. I'm emotional, bro, excuse me, I'm lost. I'm sick of raising contributions for their funeral costs. And it's happening every day, north, south, west, east coast. Another waking day, another rest in peace post. I feel like I should work harder, double my efforts. Maybe be smarter with the little time I'm left with. I try to be healthy so my family won't bitch and worry. The last thing I want is them planning obituaries. In utter disbelief, my bro died from suicide. We never truly know what a human's going through inside. Dealing with daily bullshit can get the best of you. Overwhelmed with 9-to-5 grind, hectic schedules. Then I get reminded that anyone could die. I seen so many gone, I said so many goodbyes. Damn.
Saint or a sinner, everybody's turn coming. I've been hurt from it so much I'm numb to it. Death sucks, but I try not to succumb to it. People barely old enough to even have kids pass away and leave their kids here alone. Makes you wonder what the point of all this is. If the young never live to get old, I'm well aware of it, so I prepare for it. But it's like the IRS, everybody's scared of it. I pray God gives me better understanding, despite the many passings that seem so random. To my family, I pray that I never leave you prematurely in your time of need. If I do know I had a great ride, as short as it was, I still cherish the time.
DJ Prism, man, that's what I'm saying. I can't keep going, man. This shit is bullshit.